Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your Nerd Radio podcast, whether you're getting us off iTunes or the RSS feeds on the websites, wherever like that. We appreciate you being here. We're doing it a little gorilla this week, as the computer that we usually record on is not playing nice today. So starting the show off here, it's Chuck Bean, as always. We're going to start the show off talking about wrestling. Usually I use that for like the end of the show, like the big main event.
We're curtain jerking Nerd Radio.
We are. Absolutely. Of course, Erica in with me to participate in our Squared Circle round table. And this particular weekend, kind of a big weekend.
It's a bit busy.
For the WWE, as we have our very first all women's pay-per-view event, WWE Evolution. I know I have opinions on it, but you being a woman.
That I am.
I'm interested. How do you feel about this?
I mean, I think it's a long time coming. I feel like I have mixed feelings, not about the fact that it's actually existing. I feel like because of everything with the Greatest Royal Rumble and the fact that women weren't allowed to perform at that show because it was held in Saudi Arabia. You know, it's one of those things, like, I wonder if this would have happened if the Greatest Royal Rumble hadn't have happened.
Right.
You know, and I think that's, it's one of those things where, like, I'm thrilled that it's happening. I feel like the talent is there. But would it have happened organically if it hadn't been for that show?
If there's more kind of a backstage political influence on it, you know, finally happening now.
Yeah, on it finally happening. And just the fact that, you know, that was a big day that those women couldn't take advantage of.
Right.
And I don't think that's fair. And I'm glad that they've seen the error of their ways. However, with the deal with the Saudis the way it is, I don't know if it's going to continue for 10 years. Obviously, there's a lot of political shenanigans and things that go with it. But does that mean with every Saudi show, are we going to get a women's show?
Right.
Because I'm sorry, it only seems fair. Like, especially, you know, from a monetary aspect.
I know that the rumblings of this, you know, taking place have probably been going on for the last couple of years, ever since you've seen a lot of the NXT girls come in and a lot of them be, you know, as talented as they are and everything like that. I've thought for a while that why don't you just have a one-hour show on the network that's just the ladies, like, every week?
Well, originally, I don't know if you ever recalled reading this, when SmackDown was first invented, they were originally going to have that be a woman's show.
Okay. No.
So,
I
mean, that was something I think one of my British people that I follow,
okay,
one of my favorite British content creators, they talked about that, and I thought that was interesting. That obviously was scrapped.
Right.
But, I don't know if the network would be ideal for the entire main roster of women. There's power with TV.
You get the
whole casual fan, all that jazz. Obviously, the fans like us, we would tune in.
Yeah, for
sure. Or, you know, maybe not completely religiously. Like, I still have to catch up on a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it's like NXT. Like, a lot of people will watch NXT periodically, like, oh, we're leading into a takeover, I better catch up on what's going on, kind of thing.
And, well, I guess that's part of the good part about the network, is the fact that you can binge it.
Yeah.
And it's not appointment television like Raw or SmackDown is.
Yeah, for sure. Which is really nice in that, you know, like, when it comes to, like, the Mae Young Classic, which I've been a big fan of, mm-hmm, both years, usually I'll watch that the next night or the next morning, kind of thing. Let's get into the card, because it's a very stacked card. Obviously, we're hoping that, you know, all these matches deliver. Do you feel that? Because I get the impression that, like, if they don't deliver at least a 9 out of 10, that, like, we might not get this again.
If there is botch city, if things don't go well, I don't think, at least not anytime soon.
Right. Which is really unfair.
Oh, it's absolutely unfair.
It's not like you walk into like the Saudi pay-per-views with her, which are all dudes, and be like, dude, if this is a 5 out of 10 show, we're not doing this again.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, I have that bad feeling, you know, in the back of my mind that, yeah, if this show isn't just A+, yeah, it's not going to happen again.
Right.
However, that could be different with the current contract that the WWE has. So, you know, who knows what the future holds.
Right. Well, like I said, let's talk about the card. We've got the NXT UK Women's Championship will be determined at the pay-per-view. According to what I'm reading here, it's going to be Rhea Ripley, who we've seen in the Mae Young Classic. Great heel.
She's great.
This particular, and very tall.
Big.
Know. Yeah,
big,
towering over her opponents, which is really interesting. Against a to-be-determined opponent. So according to this, they haven't said who her opponent is.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet. Hopefully that'll get determined closer to the day. I mean, we're recording this on Wednesday. But, like, you'd like to think that would have been determined by now. Like nothing has been leaked.
Well, the person I would expect it to be is Toni Storm,
who is awesome too.
And she is in the finals for the Mae Young Classic against Io Shirai. So maybe we'll see the finals, and then maybe a couple matches later, Toni Storm will come back out for the UK thing.
I mean, that would be pretty cool.
That would be neat. I also like, one of the things I was going to ask you is, you know, do you see any surprises? Because it feels like they've really, in the last, say, 2 weeks almost, they've really thrown the card together in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But even with, like, there's a battle royal going on, a mm-hmm. women's battle royal. And they were they showed the graphic last night, and, like, you knew who everybody was, almost.
Yeah.
Like, almost. There was one person, I freeze-framed it with my friends and started naming off everybody that was in it. And there's one girl with, like, some messy hair that I have no idea who she is. And now that I've looked it up, I believe it's Alundra Blaze.
Do you have the graphic up?
I don't. Damn. Let me see if I can grab it.
Yeah. Because I definitely know what she looks like. Like, by messy, do you mean dated hair? Because...
No, it's just, it looks like she just got out of the shower kind of thing. So it's kind of everywhere. And at first I thought, did Molly Holly grow her hair out? I don't, like, what is this?
Well, I'm just trying to think, like, who they could really bring back as, like, a surprise, because it's, like, Trish and Lita, we already know, is going to be there.
Well, and they've already, you know, they have, Tori Wilson is going to be in the Battle Royal, Ivory, Molly Holly, you know, they're definitely digging into the Attitude Era and post some of the women who are currently... can still go.
Exactly. The women who could still go and who had talent to begin with. You're not going to go back into the Attitude Era and just get, like, some random hoe who never could wrestle in the first place.
This isn't a great representation, but that's the image right there. And I'm looking across the top row, and that one, I'm like, who is that? Yeah, it's like between Michelle McCool and Naomi.
That's got to be Alundra Blaze, because nobody else looks like Alundra Blaze in that still.
Yeah.
That's got to be her.
Right. Everybody else I can kind of, like, there's Kelly, you know, all the current wrestlers, I know who they are. Hey, there's Ivory. Maria Kanellis is in the graphics, so that's exciting for me.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, I mean, she gave birth, so the fact that she must be healed up enough to go, or at least participate a little bit. I mean, her, you know, they may not have her go all out, because, yeah, I mean, you know, having a baby kind of wrecks your body.
Well, yeah, you got to come back, you know, you got to retrain from that.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's a little tough.
We did mention briefly the Mae Young Classic is Io Shirai versus Toni Storm. Do you think they give it to Io Shirai this year? Because that would be like women's Japanese wrestlers, two Joshis in a row.
You know, I never even thought about that. I don't know, because I like that matchup. I love Toni Storm. I think she's fantastic.
There were a lot of girls in the Mae Young Classic this year that, like, it's funny, this particular, last year it was Shayna Baszler, who I hated. A year later, I understand that she's just really good at being a heel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she underrated almost to a point. Like, I feel like she doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah. But this particular year, like, even the girls who were super heels, I really liked either their image or I liked their character when they were in the ring. And I was like, I want to see more of you.
Yeah.
You're great.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting. I mean, I feel like both women are totally worthy of winning.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a tough call.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, you had Kairi Sane last year. And then this year, you know, to have Io Shirai again, I was like, maybe maybe it's almost like King of the Ring. Maybe we want something a little different this year.
Right.
You know, and we understand as marks too that like once you've made it to like the 16 or the 8 of the Mae Young Classic, like you're in NXT. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You're going to be in NXT for at least the next year. And if you know, as long as you work hard, then mm-hmm. we're going to see you for a long time to come. Speaking of Kairi Sane, her and Shayna Baszler going to go at it. I think that match has the potential to steal the show.
I agree. I would definitely agree. I mean, there's great chemistry with them, you know, despite there being a definite size difference.
Right.
And a definite different skill set and wrestling style. But they work really well together. It just works.
The watching Kairi Sane cracks me up because she's so tiny, and obviously the high spot is her taking that elbow off the top.
Right.
But like she also has a little bit of the Japanese strong style to her, but she's so small that it's hard to sell that like this little tiny girl hits you so hard. That
yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm sure it still probably stings.
I'm sure it does.
Has some kick behind it.
Right.
But like, it's funny just seeing her just launch herself, and it's just, it's almost cartoony the way she does it. But it's just, you know, like I almost, it's, you can't help but just watch in awe.
Right.
Well, because she is putting everything into it.
I'm trying to find her name, but there was the woman in the Mae Young Classic who is from Japan. Is it Miko Satomura?
Yes.
She has her own federation over in Japan. She's an older woman in the terms of, you know, how wrestling works kind of thing. But when she wrestles strong style, I believe it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the same way I feel the way about her, the way I feel about Asuka, in so far as I feel like you could kill me,
yes.
And that's part of the appeal. Oddly enough, I'm like, I bet, like, you know, if you really fight to the death, yeah. I mean, I'm
right.
gone. I'm gone.
Exactly.
I'm dead.
If
nice knowing you.
If somebody tried to jump one of these girls in a back alley somewhere with a knife or something like that, they would regret it.
Yeah, they would be like, oh no, I picked the wrong person.
I also, this image popped in my head, and I almost don't want to say it because it's a little bit racist.
Oh my God, what time? Oh, okay, go.
I would love to see a faction of like Asuka and Io Shirai and Kairi Sane because they look like they could be like Asuka's mom. Asuka is the mom of these two.
Oh,
in the same way that leading into the next match, Mickey James, it definitely looks like Alexa Bliss's mom the entire time that they've decided she's part of her crew.
A couple things. One, I didn't realize Asuka was like in her late 30s.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Right.
Like, it could have fooled me. So when I learned that, I'm like, damn, girl, good for you.
Oh, yeah.
But then to the mom thing, I think also, like, Alexa Bliss's mom had her, like, her real life mom.
Right.
Had her when she was rather young.
When she was
rather
young, yeah.
Like, honestly, Mickey James might be able to be her mom. Like, that's not out of the ordinary. She may not be that much old, like younger than her actual mother.
I wish the last time we'd seen all of them, Trish Stratus and Lita, Alexa Bliss and Mickey James doing a promo, which was a couple of weeks ago. I wish, because at one point Alexa was like, oh, you want to go right now? Let's go right now. And then she came down the ring and was like, no. I wish somebody would have been like, oh, did your mom say you can't come out and play? Because everybody sees it.
Oh, yeah.
And part of it is because Alexa Bliss is so tiny.
True.
It did not occur to me until possibly this week that we have not seen Alexa Bliss work in the ring in quite some time. And I tend to wonder, is she working hurt? Because as soon as they decided these two matches were a tag team match, I went, okay, somebody's not ready.
Yeah.
Somebody can't work a whole match.
Right. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked, even though I think various reports have said like, no, she's fine. She's fine. It's hard not to kind of look into that, because yeah, I mean, Alexa can go, she can hold her own more than her own,
right?
So the fact that they would put, you know, this together, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked.
And in a year that you've had her feud with not only Ronda Rousey but Nia Jax,
yeah,
you know, like She's still kind of a tiny girl.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be surprising if she's working some kind of shoulder, elbow, knee, you know, joint injury.
Yeah.
And just like, no, I don't want to miss this. Like, I will do whatever it takes. Mm. I will be here.
She's, well, actually, I was gonna, like, she's a champion. Like, no, she's not. I'm so used to seeing her with
a
belt.
She's the champion in our hearts.
Of course.
Speaking of champions, let's talk about the champions. Nikki Bella fighting Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
We've had a couple of promos that, according to the dirt sheets, Ronda has written her own promo for at least one of these.
I've heard that too, and I talked this over with Eric, my husband, in case anyone doesn't know. It's just like, who's Eric?
Who's Eric? Yes. You have the cutest wrestling couple.
Thank you.
No, man. If you guys want to go back into our Nerd Radio archives, look for the episode where we talked about All In. It's adorable.
Or just check out my Instagram page.
I
shared a photo of us. We coincidentally both were wearing our New Japan LIJ shirts. He's a Naito guy. I love Sonata because Sonata's a badass and also kind of a friggin' babe.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not even funny. I don't even hide it anymore. I'm just like, damn, Gina, come on. Anyway, where was I? I just had flashes of Sonata.
Talking to
my husband about the Ronda promo.
Ronda Rousey stuff.
You know, it makes a lot of sense because it didn't follow like the cadence and the rhythm of a normal WWE promo. It seemed like it was a set of dialogue that was written or came to somebody who has been hit in the head a lot.
Okay.
Okay, and I mean that like. Yes, I mean that tongue in cheek, but like the choice of words and the rhythm and everything, it definitely wasn't a traditional WWE written promo.
Agreed. Yeah, it was nice to get something that felt different and a little more off the cuff. You know, I would imagine Nikki Bella, the Bellas and Ronda worked over ahead of time. Like, look, I'm going to say this, you know, I'm going to hit you real below the belt here. Is that okay?
It's the lowest of hanging fruit, but at the same time, it's very much an elephant in the room situation.
Right.
Especially when you take into account these two women and their athletic prowess and their past and everything. The fact that you wouldn't address the elephant in the room.
Right.
It just seems like a missed opportunity. But
as far as the match goes, the match that we're going to see on Sunday, what are you expecting?
I'm expecting Ronda to win.
Yeah.
She's definitely shown that she can, like we all know, in a fight, Ronda would kill a lot of people.
That's true.
And actually, I did get a message from Ray. Like, I don't even know when this happened, but like, also, like, just no, this was yesterday. Like, also, I just get, am I really supposed to believe Nikki Bella can go toe to toe with Ronda Rousey? Wrestling is so fake, haha. And I'm like, and unprompted, I'm like, yeah. well, hello, Ray.
Yeah, no, it's always funny. Obviously, he's been on the show multiple times. He only shows up. He's our Brock Lesnar.
He shows up
for like the big ones.
He does.
But it's always fun when Ray just like out of the blue messages you about something that's going on in wrestling.
I think the match is going to be better than we all think it's going to be.
That seems to be Ronda's moniker since she started actively since WrestleMania, is that you walk in with somewhat low expectations and are impressed by, you know, some part of the match.
At the same time, I feel like that is a dangerous precedent to set for not just Ronda, but for other things. Because how many times have we gone into entire pay-per-views with the lowest of expectations because the buildup has been awful and then have been blown away? I feel like that is a problem that they need to address company wide.
I would agree.
I think it's gonna be a fine match. I mean, it's still Ronda Rousey, and despite the fact that I don't watch Total Bellas or Total Divas, those shows still get a lot of like I have a cousin who doesn't watch wrestling,
but watches that show.
She knows who Nikki and Brie Bella are, she knows who John Cena and Daniel Bryan are because of that damn show.
There are people in the building that I've talked to before that don't know anything about wrestling, but know those women from those shows, or know even, you know, some of the men from those shows, like say Rusev or, you know, Daniel Bryan or something like that. And then on the SmackDown side, we do have the match that, for me, I think has the best build-up. going in, and that's Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, 2 weeks ago on SmackDown's 1000th episode, Becky Lynch took a shot at Edge's injured neck, and the crowd popped. Like, Becky Lynch can do no wrong.
She can do no wrong, and I love how Edge's neck has turned into the new, we're gonna break JR's arm.
Yeah!
You know, for people. I feel like that's, I love how that's evolved over time. Also, I really wish Edge would cut his hair again.
It
looked better short. And I know, not even on topic. Surprise, I'm taking things off the rails. but I saw it and I'm like, oh, that's an awkward tweener height length. And it's just
like when Shawn Michaels had like the Dutch boy haircut.
Yeah, and just you're like, bad.
Can you just grow that out for another couple of months?
Yeah, just no, thank you. But yeah, I mean, that match is going to be outstanding.
Yeah, last woman standing match, so it's there's going to be a lot of shenanigans going into that match.
Just a lot of physical knockdown, drag out action.
Yeah.
That I think I'm going to be very interested to see what type of spots they pull off,
mm-hmm.
because you know those two women are going to want to, once again, they're going to want to steal the show.
Yep.
They're going to want to be the match that everyone's
about. If they're not the last match of the night, then they're going to prove to you they should have been.
Exactly. Do you think Ronda and Nikki are going to,
I think that closes the show.
I think it closes the show,
Ronda Rousey, for the casual fan or for the person that's just kind of about wrestling,
yeah.
Ronda Rousey is the name that they recognize
right.
from, her UFC and her movies that she's done and stuff like that. So, it's a little bit of a Brock Lesnar situation where it's like, this is actually the person that the person that tuned into this that doesn't tune into anything else came to see.
Yeah, and I have mixed feelings about that because I feel like Becky and Charlotte should be closing out the show, but once again, we're two marks and that's how we feel.
Right.
So, and then they know we're going to tune in no matter what, so we don't matter.
All right, so there's two things that I nearly forgot before we wrap up this Evolution thing. First of all, they announced on Monday a 6-woman tag match. My girls, the Riot Squad, taking on Sasha, Bailey, and Natalya. I'm glad the match is going on. I'm glad the Riot Squad has a 3-person team to go against. But I also feel bad for every woman in this match because this means they're not in the Battle Royal. And the Battle Royal is supposed to have stakes leading out of Evolution for like whoever wins it gets some kind of title match later.
I feel like... Have you heard the stuff about the women's tag title?
That was the other thing I wanted to bring up, is that we've expected for 2 months now that they would let us know going into this there would be women's tag titles and then maybe establish the champions here.
Yeah.
They haven't.
They haven't yet.
But the buzz is huge that this may be where Stephanie McMahon comes out and says, hey, by the way, women's tag titles, and I guess Survivor Series would be when you crown your women's champions, your tag champions at this point?
Potentially. I'm like, what month is it? Oh, yeah, it is already Survivor's
right.
Series. Holy crap. Well, an interesting report that came out, I forgot what site it was, but it might have been at the Providence show, they were distributing signs to fans,
yes.
We want women's tag titles. We
right.
want this. We want that.
Oh, hey, Al.
Oh, hey.
What's
going
on? We're talking about wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Are you on or what's that?
Kind of. The computer was not paying attention, so I'm doing it on my phone.
Oh!
The computer was not playing along.
Okay. So I did just burst in on a show in progress.
Yes,
yeah,
you
congratulations.
Did.
Good. Usually you're on the opposite end of that.
I know. I actually, I would like to state for the record that I stood outside the door and I looked and I was like, oh, wait, they're not on microphones. This is all good. I can go in and say, hi, Chuck, when are you ready for me to come in for the podcast? And then I just let myself in. Which is, I'm happy with, because I never see Erica either. So, hi, Erica.
I know. I'm like, hi, Al. I'm like, this is the first time you and I have been in the room together for the show.
Right,
right.
So,
yes.
I'm like, this is a big moment. I'm like, oh, my God.
It is. It is. And it really is just as big of a friggin' mess as it sounds like on the other segments.
So, Al, what do you think about the women's pay-per-view that's coming up this
I'm just going to back out here. Just let me know when you're ready for me, Chuck. Thanks
right.
a lot. See you, pal.
Good talking.
You got it. We're keeping that, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Thank God.
Sure. That's your preview of Al Beck. He'll be on later on in the show.
Ah. Okay.
Women's tag team titles.
Okay. They were distributing signs.
We want
women's tag titles. So, like, this is something that it's going to happen.
It was like the Cesaro section size. It was just like an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And right. But there were tons of them.
Yeah.
All over the crowd.
Mm-hmm. And they were WWE brass were distributing them to fans.
Okay, that I heard.
That's what was happening.
So, because I felt like for the last couple of months you've seen a lot of women's tag matches. And yes. I don't think that's just to get four girls on the camera. It's to subconsciously condition you to like women's tag team matches.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we say, hey, we're going to have title belts, you'd be like, well, yeah, naturally. I mean, mm-hmm. I see a tag match every week on Raw and SmackDown.
Yes.
You know, and they've established. That's my other question, though. If you were booking, who are the first WWE women's tag team matches out of the roster that you have now? Because to me, it's no question.
Oh, well, who should be the champ? Like
who should be the very first champions? The women's tag team champions.
I mean, are you leaning Bayley, Sasha?
Nope.
I mean, is it Riot Squad?
Nope.
Oh, why am I? Oh my God, the Iconics! Yes. Oh, it has to be them.
They have never not been a pair, and their heels. And as it's said at the end of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling show on the first season of Netflix, the money is in the chase.
Yeah, that's fact.
It's got to be the Iconics.
I can't believe I forgot about the Iconics, and I like them so much as people.
You're the only one in this room that does.
I have to send you the interview I saw with them with Sam Roberts. You'll change your mind on them completely.
Okay.
They seem like lovely.
I have listened to Sam Roberts' podcast quite a few times. Not a fan of, I love his interviews, not a fan of the rest of the show.
Okay.
Personally. But you know what?
Fair enough.
I feel the same way about Edge and Christian's podcast.
Right.
I love listening to them interview people. Not really a fan of them doing the thing that we're essentially doing right now.
So what we're trying to say is we are better than these other people.
We are better than people who have actually worked in the industry this part of it.
Absolutely. Why not? We should have been on Podcast Row at All In.
We should have.
I'm honestly, like, trust me, don't think I haven't thought about that.
All right, well, let's take a break real quick because more stuff has happened in the world of the WWE, much less in professional wrestling, than just this. And we'll get to the big news involving Roman Reigns in just a minute.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
All right, welcome back to Nerd Radio, officially in the Nerd Radio studio, as the Pro Tools is working again.
We're not hovered around your phone.
Right, so here we go. Of course, Erica hanging out with us. And as always, I encourage you guys to hit us up on our social media, Nerd Radio 101, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. That's where you can find us. The Squared Circle Roundtable continues. We talked about women WWE Evolution.
Yep.
Which is this Sunday. Next Sunday is their second big Saudi Arabia show, which is the Crown Jewel,
yes.
They're calling it. And
yes.
That has been kind of a cluster for the last month.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you've been paying attention to the news outside of wrestling, a reporter was reportedly killed and mutilated and chopped up by a hit squad over there, and he's a reporter that doesn't say nice things about the royal family over there.
Right.
And there's a lot of politicians that are kind of latching on and saying, like, don't go over there. WWE, don't go over there. But they've already, you know, they already kind of cashed the check. They got, you know, they're getting a lot of money.
Well, they've been very cautious. If you've been paying attention on Raw and SmackDown, whenever they've talked about Crown Jewel, they have not mentioned Saudi Arabia.
For 2 weeks, Crown Jewel is still happening, but they have not mentioned where for about 2 weeks now.
So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how this all pans out. Obviously, everything going on surrounding the death of Jamal Khashoggi, a reporter for the Washington Post.
Right.
Yeah, there's still
things coming out. I'm sure after we are done recording this, there's still going to be more. So who, like, it is a mess. It is awful. It is tragic. I hope the right thing is done.
Right. Well, that's the thing I wanted to talk to you about. This is obviously a little bit more serious than the fun that we typically have when we talk about stuff here on Nerd Radio. But it's a thing that I addressed with my co-host over on the wrestling podcast that I do, which I don't think I've ever mentioned here, called The One Fall Show.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it on iTunes and the whole thing. If the Saudi Arabia royal family is willing to do this to a reporter that says not nice things about them, what are they willing to do to somebody, some Americans that say, oh, no, thank you, we won't be showing up, kind of thing? So, yeah, on one hand, it's not as easy as just going like, well, no, we can't come out over there because, you know, there's too much heat right now.
Yeah, this ends poorly, and hopefully it ends poorly in a way where no one gets hurt.
Exactly.
I mean, it's scary. It's absolutely scary. And, you know, I mean, you have the added layer with Linda McMahon being in Trump's cabinet,
sure,
which I think we, you know, mentioned the last time I was in here. Well, when she appeared on the screen behind you, and I thought, wow, Linda McMahon just appeared out of nowhere while we're talking about wrestling. It's magic.
Looking for her again.
Something else is going on the television.
I don't think Linda McMahon's going to be part of that news story.
No, I doubt it. But this is not going to be looked back on fondly.
No, it's definitely going to be kind of an event that you might not talk about quite as much once it's finally over.
And honestly, maybe this might be a little extreme. I feel like, you know, they made this deal. They made this 10-year deal with the Saudi royal family. I don't see that 10 years panning out.
Yeah.
The way things are already going, we're not even 1 year in.
Yeah.
I understand that, you know, they were given a lot of money. However, this could easily play out into a scenario similar to that of Chris Benoit. And in what I mean by that is it's just not talked about when any sort of historical WWE thing happens again.
Right.
You know, it's just that thing that is kind of brushed under the rug. It'll have some sort of place on the network, but it won't be a prominent piece of
exactly. It won't, in fact, be a crown jewel
of the
WWE library.
Yes, that is an odd place to put sort of a pun, trying to make light of a very difficult situation. But I don't see this. Historically panning out.
The reason I bring it up is because I now have actually two questions. I had one question for you, but now I have two questions. The first question is, they just did a similar thing in Australia.
Right.
How odd is it that the two countries that you would, you know, make these deals with to come to their country and do this big show and put it on the network or something like that, they seem so different. Like, I can't imagine the same thing happening with like the Australian deal.
Well, the Australian deal was different because that was done through the tourism board.
Ah, okay.
So it's not like...
The Australian royal family?
No, and I don't even know if Australia has a royal monarchy of any kind. I don't know enough about their... I know they have a prime minister.
Right.
And that's cool. I think New Zealand has a prime minister. Either way, I'm pretty sure they don't have a monarchy or anything.
I was going to say, I don't know who took over for the royal family after Steve Irwin passed away. So I'm unsure.
Actually, it went back to Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, yes. Well, that's good.
Yes.
She had a long reign as the Queen of Australia.
Yeah, I know. Let's face it. And really, frankly, Kylie Minogue is just waiting for her to die so she can take that crown.
She's waiting for her spot.
Awful jokes. Awful jokes. Thank you for still listening, by the way, if you're still here.
We're trying to make levity in a very serious situation here.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's night and day. There's a big difference between going through a tourism board.
That's what I mean.
The royal family who... Let's face it, doesn't have the greatest track record.
In the same year, these two deals go down, and they're like just night and day from each other.
Right.
And that's fascinating. The other thing I wanted to bring up, something that I've talked on the One Fall Show about with my co-host, Sean, as a fan, where do you stand on, let's say, you know, let's say Crown Jewel happens a week from Sunday and it's in Saudi Arabia. Do you watch?
I'm not going to watch.
Do you completely boycott the night? I've never been one of these guys. In fact, I've poked fun at a couple of friends that have been one of these guys. But like, do you cancel your subscription for X amount of time just to kind of like send a little bit of a $9.99 message like, I don't approve of this?
It's, you know, trust me, I've thought about it, especially in these last couple of weeks.
Because this is the one time I kind of feel like I watch WWE Evolution on Sunday and then somewhere around like Thursday or Friday, I just cancel.
Yeah.
And then come back, you know, for Survivor Series.
Yeah, but, I don't know. Does that send enough of a message?
Yeah,
because
at
the end of the day, it's like, well, you still came back for Survivor Series, so they don't care.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, you know, this is a business. They have made that blatantly clear.
Right.
And they will make their money however they so choose.
That's fair.
And you know, I think the biggest way to hit them is to not watch Raw or SmackDown. The network, I mean,
that's true.
The network, yeah, okay. So you have 2 million subscribers, $9.99 each. Cool, that's a good chunk of change. But let's face it, they're making the bulk of their money on those TV shows.
Yeah.
If you want to really hit them there, you know, don't watch the TV shows or don't buy tickets.
Yeah, that's true. Well, talking about the TV shows, Raw, this week's Raw was monumental. For reasons you would not have expected going into it. I, in fact, typically if I'm going to watch Raw, I like to watch it, either when I was doing overnights, I used to do Tuesday morning overnight. So I would just watch Raw, you know, at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
While I was here. If I'm going to watch Raw live, which I do now, I typically won't tune in for the first hour. That way I can fast forward through commercials. And by the time I'm caught up, we're in the 10:30 hour.
Right.
I only got to watch, you know, one or two things of commercials. So this week, I didn't tune in until 9 o'clock, and I don't remember what we were doing, but around like 8:30-ish, Amy checks her Twitter or something like that, and I hear her from the bathroom go, "Roman Reigns has leukemia?"
Yeah. Like,
well, shocking.
Well, okay. So this past episode of Raw, I decided to you know, because my husband's in incredible shape now, I'm starting to get that weird spousal guilt of like, oh, I should really do something about my ass, shouldn't
okay.
I? So I got like a little workout in, and I was gross after it because it's a workout.
Yeah, so
I had a shower, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's the beginning of Raw. They're just going to replay it anyway.
Recap it every hour.
Yeah, because that's what they do. And so I come out, and like I sit down on the couch. I go, so what'd I miss? And my husband looks at me and goes like, well, Roman Reigns had to relinquish the title because he has leukemia. And I went, what?
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Because
it really shocks you into, like, first of all, there is not even a 2% chance that this is a work.
Oh, yeah.
But if this is a work, oh, my God.
First of all, it's
awful thing to try and work.
Well,
like, even talking about Crown Jewel, like, if this is one of their ways of being like, hey, we can't show up because, you know, our top guy has leukemia, you know, his leukemia was in remission and now it's not, so, you know, we can't have that match kind of thing. But, oof. But it's super shocking because, look, like I said, all of us, it's not only is it a guy that you've watched for the last couple of years? It's a guy we've booed relentlessly for the last couple of years. And once again, like, if it's a work, I can picture Vince McMahon going like, yeah, boo him now. Boo the guy with leukemia. Go ahead.
Well, what was fascinating, and I don't know if you caught this, I don't think anything came out about him having leukemia when he was 22 years old.
Never heard it, ever.
Which is fascinating in the climate that we live in, that something that's a huge deal that was kept under wraps for a very long time.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were able to keep that secret, I was kind of amazed.
Right. And that as a fan and a mark and a skeptic, that's also a thing where it's like, well, why am I only hearing about this now? Why has this never come up?
They can, I mean, believe it or not, secrets can be kept.
Even in the internet age of 2018?
Even in this internet age, because probably the only big secret that I uncovered or that kind of shocked me when they were talking about ECW in some of those WWE Network specials,
yeah.
Like, I didn't realize how, like they were on the take from WWE. WWE was heavily involved in ECW
right.
from, like, the damn near get-go.
Yeah, they were definitely helping them out with the bills because they wanted, a third brand going
yeah.
on.
Yeah, and, like, I didn't know that, and I think that was kept heavily under wraps, too. But that and this are, like, two of the biggest secrets of the past 5-10 years,
right.
easily.
Right. But very, it's just as hard to watch as anybody else who's had to come out and relinquish a title, you know, like Finn Balor or when Edge had to retire or Daniel Bryan's retirement or something like that. And really, Roman kept it together very well. But when Seth and Dean came out, Seth was a mess.
That
was the hardest thing to watch.
Was hard. Yeah. That was really difficult. I think the big thing too, you know, comparing, I almost called him Joe, like as if I know him, because you know he openly said like, look, my name is Joe.
Yeah, which is that's his actual name. Which how weird did that have to be when Roman Reigns, whose real name is Joe and is Samoan, is fighting a guy whose wrestling name is Samoa Joe?
Hilarious.
Is there anything more wrestling than that?
There really isn't. But the big difference is, and it's like, I hate to get all macabre about it, but like with Edge and Daniel Bryan, when they had to retire, you know, they're like, okay, I have to step away from the ring. You knew that they would have long, healthy lives because
sure.
of that.
That's not a guarantee for...
You don't know.
Yeah.
And that's scary and awful. And the fact that he, you know, he's married with kids and it's just, holy hell. You tune into wrestling to escape from the world. And then it's like, oh, damn it. Things got real.
Yeah.
You know, and it just it shocked. Like, I'm still kind of stunned from the news.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But it's encouraging to me that as a whole, the wrestling community, when something serious like this has come up, we've turned 180 degrees. Like I said, we have talked smack and booed Roman Reigns out of the building for like probably 4 or 5 years at this point. But and there were still some drunk people in the crowd while he's delivering his promo that were jerks about it or something like that. But mostly,
yeah. Sorry.
Mostly as a whole of the wrestling community is like, you know what? We've come to the realization that we weren't really booing Roman. We were booing management and where they were putting Roman. You know, we were, and that like he's a human being and he has entertained us. And
yeah.
The crowd immediately when they could feel that this is Roman saying goodbye, started chanting, "Thank you, Roman."
Yeah.
You know, a crowd that as soon as his theme came out, just erupts in boos.
Yeah.
And that's real encouraging. Not to mention all the tweets that we've seen, not only from other wrestlers, but from other wrestling companies, New Japan, Ring of Honor, you know, I think
all the talent within those companies.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, realizing this is some serious stuff, man.
Yeah.
And that's super encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
There was someplace else I was going to go with this for a minute. It wasn't funny. There was something else I was going to, the show itself, the Raw itself. It was extremely interesting to me to watch them. You could almost see how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
The way this Raw put together. Like, we were complaining 10 minutes ago about the fact that, like, yeah, whatever happens at the top of the show, they're going to play at the top of the 9 o'clock hour and the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Well, they did that.
Yeah.
But this particular episode, it made sense. That,
yes.
Like, look, you may have at 8:30, like I did, just read on Twitter, oh my God, this happened. So let's replay it for you because this is a big deal. It's also fascinating to watch the gears turn as the company, as the entertainment side of it works, whereas Elias turns face. Out of the blue, there's a segment where Elias smashes a guitar over, what's his face?
Baron Corbin.
And you know, essentially turns face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then at the very end, you get the big heel turn from Dean Ambrose that we've kind of been expecting of it. And I've for as much as for the weeks that they've been teasing it, I'm like, come on, whatever. Like, either do it or don't. Just a kind of thing. When they did it, holy moly, did it deliver?
Here's the thing, and I think they took advantage of this horrible situation to make this work, because they're looking at how the crowd is, doesn't matter what Becky Lynch says, doesn't matter what happens, they're behind her.
Right.
Dean Ambrose is another guy that if he were to turn, people would cheer. And they knew, okay, if this is going to happen, if we want this guy to be a bad guy, this is the night to do it.
For sure.
And they made it count, because all of those faces in the crowd, as soon as he did it, like just shot after shot of people going,
right,
well, I guess this is life now.
Yeah.
Like, it was perfection. And I'm sure, like, once again, like, it's,
'cause I'm sure
it's so gross to think, like,
yeah, no,
this is what we want.
There's this segment of the wrestling community is like, you pick tonight to do this stuff. But really, business-wise, boy, does that make sense.
It made the most sense.
You've got more eyes on you in that 10 o'clock hour than you have had on Raw in a long time.
And well, and then you wanted people to go, look, this night has been awful. Let's have his friends win these titles. Hooray! And then once again, this turn has been telegraphed for weeks. They weren't going to boo. Dean Ambrose wasn't going to get booed when he turned.
Right.
He wasn't.
Dude,
people like him way too damn much. And this was the only way to shock people.
Yeah.
This was legitimately the only way to do it.
Yeah, it's I'm definitely not in the camp of sure, it's a little tasteless, but like, it makes so much sense.
It made the most sense. The only thing the one thing I was dying for, I'm like, get that man a microphone. Why doesn't he have a microphone?
Yeah.
But
it was
again,
almost the way it's done. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you can go on YouTube and check it out. The way it's done is so powerful. The Dean's body language of like, it almost feels like he doesn't want to be doing this.
Right.
But he feels like this is the time to do it. Right. Seth's body language of like his entire world crumbling around him in one night is just, it's really, really good storytelling.
Even though they didn't get him a microphone and a chance to talk at the end of the show, it's a great way to be like, well, I got to tune in next week.
Exactly.
Because you know who's going to kick off the top of the show.
Exactly.
You know, because, I mean, it's the story.
Yep.
You want to know.
Yep.
Probably one of the best endings of Raw.
In a long time.
A long time.
Absolutely. All right, Erica. Well, thanks for coming in. We've talked for at least half a Nerd Radio about some wrestling, but you know what? I love doing it.
It was a lot of stuff happened, Chuck.
It does.
We had to.
It does. I don't know that we'll get together in the next couple of weeks talking about Crown Jewel, but like I said, Survivor Series is on the way.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about Crown Jewel. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
Yeah,
that may be the way that we kind of give our
that's our little protest.
There you go. That's our protest. So. We, of course, hit us up on Nerd Radio 101 on all the social media. Hit up the WRAF website. That's where you can see all the different news stories that you're always posting.
Yeah,
which
why
is absolutely,
not?
Absolutely great. And we'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Hope you cleared out your DVR. We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Oh, I've wasted my life.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio on the podcast page, on your RSS feed, and on the iTunes. It's Chuck Bean, joined by one of my regular co-hosts, Mr. Al
Beck.
One
of you, yes.
Welcome back to the show. We got a little preview of you earlier today.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was already here or if I'm going to make a surprise appearance later.
It's always a surprise for you guys because I'm the one that puts the show together.
Right, and you kind of make your decision of the order in which it's assembled.
It's on the fly. That's how I do my best work. It's under pressure and on the fly and making the decision at the moment kind of thing, which sometimes doesn't lead to my best work, but that's how I do most of my best work. So that's just how I do things.
You know, I got to tell you, before we get into whatever we're going to talk about this week.
Sure.
I got to tell you, I got a few tweets and Facebooks and stuff. People really liked our Foo Fighters segment that we did last week.
I saw somebody tweeted about the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
It was almost backhanded because it's like, really liked hearing you guys talk about Foo Fighters. Didn't listen to the rest of the show.
Well, yeah. which I love, and I'm usually the first one to say on the show.
All right, fair.
That particular person did tweet a follow-up, though, that they just, whatever they were listening to, it, like, crashed and actually said she couldn't okay. wait to get back to it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, but I had a couple people also reach out to me to ask about the cat.
Yeah.
Which I have not seen in days.
Right.
Maybe even a week now. No, I think the neighbor ended up taking it in, to be honest with you, because she knocked at my door.
Yeah. She decided she's willing to take that chance.
Mm. Well, here's the thing. The update on the cat, and the Cliff Notes version, a stray cat showed up on my patio at my apartment.
Yep.
I couldn't take it in. The apartment wouldn't let me, you know, because it was too young and various other reasons. You can listen to last week's podcast for the full story.
Yep.
But I wanted to take the cat in, and if I could have found a shelter to hold on to him until he turned a year old, I would have adopted him. I really like this little guy.
Right.
But
and you're not a cat guy.
No, I'm not, that which is the crazy thing. I do not like cats. I really like this one. But someone knocks at my door as I'm getting up.
Right.
And I work in morning radio, so I'm
Oh, it's the worst.
No, 3:20 in the morning, somebody's knocking on my door.
And wow.
And neither of my neighbors know what I do for a living. They maybe have figured out that I leave early, but
I'm
like,
know that you leave in the middle of the night and then get back in the afternoons.
Like, man, that is bold to knock on my door at 3:30 in the morning.
Right.
Good Lord. But I guess it's the brand new neighbor, so I hadn't even not even met her yet. And she's holding the cat, and she's like, is this your cat? Because he hangs out here a lot, and he's on my porch sometimes, and I'm like, no, it's not. And I kind of like ran through the whole, like, I'd love to take him in. And she's
right.
Like, well, I can't take him in. I work 16 hours a day. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you, lady. Like, I would love to take him in, but this is what I was told. And then we parted ways, and I haven't seen the cat since. So,
yeah, maybe she found it. She took him to a shelter.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm seeking closure, though. No, I'm not seeking. Sure. I'm hoping for closure. I don't think I'm going
to
get it.
Right, right. Well, obviously, when people tune in, they're tuning in to hear about the life and times of Al Beck. So we will alter the show to make sure that there's at least a weekly segment about the life and times of Al Beck.
My God. Worst segment ever. You kidding me?
Sometimes it'll just be like, so Al, what'd you do this week? Sat on the couch, watched Star Trek reruns?
Yes.
But I can tell you, I know for certain, I don't want to get too far ahead, but I can tell for certain, I know what your weekend consists of this week.
Yes.
And that's Red Dead Redemption 2.
That is correct.
We have been waiting forever for this game.
You know what? Best Buy, I purchased a copy for my brother through Best Buy. And it's funny. He and I actually, for our respective birthdays, bought each other Red Dead Redemption 2.
That's awesome.
And, yes. And it was one of those, like, his birthday's before mine in the year, so his is back in May.
Yeah.
So I pre-ordered it, and I sent him the email confirmation or whatever, and like, here you go. Here's your birthday. You're not going to get it until October, but here you go.
Right.
And he wrote back like, well, don't buy it, because that's what I was going to get for you. And I was like, you know what? I don't even care that the surprise is ruined. I don't care that you are buying me what I bought you.
Yep.
I don't care the fact that we're spending the money. It doesn't matter. The fact that he and I bought each other our copies, that was cool to me.
That is cool.
It is cool to me. It actually makes it cooler, the fact that it was each other's birthday present.
Yeah.
You know? And so he gave me mine was a download code, and of course he had to one-up me. He got me the deluxe edition, and I didn't spend that much money on it. He outspent me by like $40 or whatever, so sorry, Kevin. I cheaped out on you. But so
I gotta write that down. I'm gonna call this week's episode Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, Ghoul's gonna be so sad when he finds out it's not him.
Oh no.
Oh.
Ghoul, we love you. Even though the show ends every week with somebody saying, nobody ask you, Kevin.
Yeah, right.
I do love you. I put that in there because I love you. I want you to feel. I want you to know that I'm thinking of you every week.
Yeah. But so we got the download codes, and it's all set and it's ready. But anyway, so I get this email from Best Buy. It says something about updating your order. Okay, what's this all about? And I click on it. It's about Red Dead Redemption, and it says change of release date. Like, what the hell are you talking about? And now I'm all upset because of I'm out with Andy Green from Dave and Chuck
right.
Recently.
Which, by the way, thanks for calling me. I wouldn't have hung out with you guys.
I picked him up at the airport. So you want to make an airport run, pal? He bought me drinks for driving to the airport and waiting there for 7 hours. So go F yourself. So I'm out with Andy, and he brings up this game. And he's a PS4 player, and he's a video gamer. And so he's like, yeah, this Red Dead Redemption, there's a lot of buzz about them. I'm like, dude, favorite game, can't wait for it. And he goes, dude, the attention to detail in this game, I don't know if this is true or not. Andy pointed out to me that one of the things that they did was that the temperature in the world.
I know what this is.
Yes. So I'm guessing it might be true. Will adjust the size of your horse's testicles.
Yep.
And that's the attention to detail they took. And he said that like it was the coolest thing ever. And I was livid. I'm like, you better be lying to me, Andy. I've been waiting for this game for years. And if goddamn horse nuts is what held it up,
I am
flipping a table over, pal.
They took 4 months to figure out how to make sure that the horse testicles shrank and grew depending on the temperature on where you were.
I do every time I see these stupid.
Now you're going to be focused on the horse testicles whenever you walk around.
That's exactly. I will be looking at nothing but horse balls for the next however many hours of gameplay I've got. And every time I see them grow, I'm going to throw my controller at the screen. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Don't do that. Controllers are about as expensive as games at this point.
I know. It's going to be a really expensive game for me.
Yeah, so you guys.
It's a good thing I didn't buy this copy.
You guys can look forward to us talking about Red Dead Redemption 2 probably for the rest of the year.
Oh,
I'm sure every week we're
going
to have some kind of shenanigans.
I was so mad. I was so mad when he told me that. I'm still mad. I'm still upset. But no, real quick, circling back to God, this is the worst, scatterbrained segment I've ever done, and that's saying something. But so I got the email about the change or whatever, and I'm looking at it, and it says December 31st. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, that was the release date last year.
Yeah.
And then I looked a little closer, and it said release date December 31st, 2017. I was like, well, that's in the past. We don't have the. And then I get a follow-up email from Best Buy. Like, hey, guys, we sent out an email. You can just forget about it.
That was an automated email. Sorry, we forgot to cancel that one.
It was like a reverse thing. Hey, your October 26th release is now on December 31st of last year.
All right.
But anyway, that reminded me of the horse nuts. Mm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to kick my horse in the nuts if he's as bad as some of the horses I've ridden in all those games.
You know what? The last one was a pretty good horse.
Yeah, the Metal Gear horse was pretty all right.
I was talking about the first Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, I could deal with that horse.
You could
absolutely.
I thought it was a great horse.
I thought he was all right. He did a good job.
There's no Shadow of Colossus, but.
No, that horse can go fall off a cliff many times as far as I'm concerned.
Hashtag horse nuts.
Horse nuts. Yeah, exactly.
That should be the title of the episode.
Sorry, Kevin. Horse nuts. No, I made sure I finished Metal Gear Solid 5 last weekend. Mm-hmm. And I spent the entire weekend playing it to make sure I was done and ready for a new game when Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out on my PS4. So
similarly, I didn't start another game. Like sat down and I really thought about, I still haven't put in Final Fantasy 15. I still don't regret having bought it. I got it at that really cheap price.
Yep.
But I haven't even seen it yet. And I love Final Fantasy. And part of it was, I'm going to get caught up on all my comics first. And that never happened. And I was like, all right, to hell with these comics. Let's check out Final Fantasy. And I thought about it. I was like, are you really going to put this thing in 2 weeks before Red Dead Redemption comes out? I don't.
Right, because you're just going to play Red Dead, and you probably run into the same thing I do. Like, you start a game, and then a new game comes out, and you start the new game, and then you don't remember where you were in the old game, and you have to start it over anyways.
So,
the hell with that.
I remember everything, Chuck. I don't know what you're
saying. Well, you mentioned comics. Let's talk about some comics. I brought you some comics to check
out.
Yeah,
we talked about half the video game stuff before Jefferson got here.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? There's a book that's been coming out from Dark Horse. I think it's up to issue 3 at this point. Mm-hmm. It's Nesnetti? I don't know how to pronounce her name, but she's the writer.
Oh, okay, it's a name. All right. I thought it was the name of the
no,
comic.
No. The comic's called The Seeds.
The Seeds,
The important thing, the thing that drew me in, is it's drawn by the guy who drew Matt Fraction's Hawkeye run, David Aja. The book itself is kind of a science fiction, a weird science fiction book. There's aliens. There's dudes in gas masks. There's a reporter. It's definitely kind of a
first page you open to is a lady on a toilet.
What, you know, it's kind of like the Mockingbird book that came out last year, where you're reading it and you're like, what is going mm-hmm. on? And that's what keeps you coming back for it.
Sure.
I believe it's only a 4-issue miniseries. And like I said, it's up to issue 2 or 3 right now. But David Aja's work is just as good as it's always been. This time in black and white, no color in this, but just fascinating work. I really love his attention to detail, but at the same time, how much, I don't want to call it dead space. What do they call it in art?
I don't know, but just flipping through it, and just some of the imagery I'm seeing, I like the choice to go black and white.
Yeah, it's striking.
It is.
But yeah, it's good. It's from Dark Horse Comics. It's called The Seeds. If you liked David Aja's work on Hawkeye, and I, of course, did, then you definitely want to check this book out. It's pretty cool. Another book I just caught up on, because this is the big crossover for the Spider-Man universe this year. It's the Spider-Geddon. It's the sequel to the Spider-Verse, mm-hmm. where they introduced all the different Spider-Mans
yes.
from different realities. This was the miniseries leading into it. It was called Edge of Spider-Geddon. It's a 4-issue miniseries. Each issue focuses on a particular Spider-Man in a particular universe.
Yep.
Last year when they did this for Spider-Verse, they did Edge of the Spider-Verse, and that was the book that introduced us to Spider-Gwen. So already a good lineage for this kind of thing. I picked all these up and thought, if I like one or two of them, it'll be great. And when I got done, I wish this was just a monthly thing.
Really?
I wish they just like had a monthly anthology book with different writers and artists where they just introduced a Spider-Man from a different reality. Because, like, the first one is a Spider-Man we met last year in Spider-Verse, the punk Spider-Man, and it's his reality.
Right.
And you get to see that, like, the Captain America is called Captain Anarchy, and in this book he's fighting Kang from the year, like, 3000 or something like that, and the reason Kang is there is because he makes a buttload of money on the Spider-Man merchandising. Like, Kang Co. owns the rights to Spider-Punk,
mm-hmm.
but you also get to see that there's, like, a heavy metal punk rock Hulk.
Yes.
And it's got like tattoos and a mohawk and stuff.
I don't know what it was about. I did read the first issue, and I don't know if I, sometimes when I fall so far behind on comics, I'm playing catch up.
Yeah.
It becomes less fun, which is why I do things that cut back on my list when I get too far behind, both TV and comics.
Yeah.
So that can happen, because I've had stuff that I read through and going, I don't know about this, wasn't great. And then I reread and go, wow, this was awesome.
Right.
And sometimes it's because it's written for the trade, as we've talked about before. And sometimes, whatever. But I did not at all enjoy that first issue of this.
Of Spider-Geddon?
Yeah.
I was, the art I wasn't crazy about. It's kind of Todd McFarlane-like.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I feel like I've kind of outgrown that a little bit. But like I said, I read the first one, I'm like, I don't know, that's all right. The second one brings back the spider robot, like the anime, uh-huh. Neon Genesis Evangelion spider robot that last time they did this, Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance created this character.
Oh, okay.
So this was fun because it definitely has a lot of, they introduce another robot that's like the Venom robot, and the Venom robot goes crazy,
mm-hmm.
and Penny Parker, who will be in the edge of this, what is it, the Edge of Spider-Verse movie that's coming out? The Miles Morales movie that's coming out. Yeah, she's going to be in that movie. Mm-hmm. The third movie was written by the dude who did Spider-Gwen, but features a reality where Peter Parker is like 13 or 14 years old and has spider powers. Something happens to Uncle Ben and he has to give him a blood transfusion. So Ben gets spider powers too. So they're like a Batman and Robin team kind of thing. And that's kind of fun. My favorite was there's a panel in there that's very obviously a take on the Dark Knight Returns cover.
Oh yeah, sure.
With the two of them.
Yeah.
But it was a fun book. And then the fourth one features it says Meet the Mysterious Spider-Man Who Changes the Course of Spider-Geddon.
Oh no.
And it's a
very mysterious.
It's a version of Spider-Man who's actually Norman Osborn.
Oh
and
no.
Has like 8 arms and you know runs Oscorp and stuff like that. So also all 4 of them, like I said, by the time I got to the end of them, cuz I read them all at once, almost like a trade paperback. By the time I got to the end of them, I was like, man, if they did this monthly, I would read the hell out of this.
Huh.
If they just ever...
Well, you like the sort of alternate...
I do! Regular Spider-Man is okay,
yeah.
But I love alternate realities. I love the...
Which I do get. I understand where you're coming from on that.
It's a character I know, but it's a spin on it that I'm not familiar with, and I think that's really fascinating and fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always okay with that. See, like, when sometimes we get the people that are really upset about, like, the way a movie went,
Yeah.
And they complain about that. I'm usually, I'm okay. Like, tell your version of the story. That's all right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's basically our comic book segment for this week.
That was a whole mishmash of a segment.
Kind of, yeah. But as always, I encourage you guys to hit up comicshoplocator.com. Find the comic book store near you. Check out some books. Check out the books I talked about. And check out some other books. And then tweet us or hit us up on our Facebook at Nerd Radio 101 and let us know what you're reading. Do you want to take a break before we hit the headlines and call it a day?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so let's take a breather, get a swallow of water, and we'll be right back with what's been going on this week in the world of nerds. It's Nerd Radio coming back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Roger me, Wilco me, anything. Hello, hello, Earth.
And now, back to the nerds.
All right, we are back with Nerd Radio right here on your iTunes, on your RSS feed, on the podcast page, wherever you get us. We appreciate it.
Subscribe and share.
Absolutely. That's the funny thing about the analytics program we're using now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't tell me... it'll tell me a whole bunch of stuff, like how many clip downloads there are, stuff like that. But it never, it says we have two subscribers. And I know we have more than two subscribers. Like, I appreciate I appreciate the couple hundred downloads we're getting every week,
it is, two subscribers to the direct, platform.
Feed. Yeah, yeah. The direct platform.
From that platform. Because that also...
like it's probably not monitoring like iTunes.
Yeah, that would be my guess. Because we've got the platform that we upload to, and then that sends it out to the various, you know, your Stitchers and your iTunes and all that stuff.
Right.
So I would guess that it's two people on that specific platform.
Right, for sure.
But it does track how many people download it, which is nice. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, and like I said, we appreciate that.
And I'm always hearing from people, I love it too, when people check out the show for the first time or whatever, or if they've been listening. We love to hear from you. Of course, you know, Nerd Radio 101 is the show's social media. You can find me pretty much on all of them, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Gmail, all of those, Al Beck Radio.
And you're definitely going to be going to want to be following us as, not this weekend, but next weekend is YumaCon, the big anime convention coming up, and I will be there.
And I will not.
No?
No.
Come on.
No, we tried. We tried anime. Remember Cowboy Bebop? Didn't go well.
All right.
And it had a lot of ingredients.
You can appreciate all the photos and video and stuff that we put up on the Instagram and the Twitter and the Facebook.
I'll be playing Red Dead Redemption. I won't be looking at any of that.
It's all the people in costume and stuff like that, and I will be among them. It'll be a fun time. Let's talk about what's going on in the world of nerds this week.
No.
Okay, well, it's been a great show.
That's Nerd Radio, everybody.
That's it. Yeah, that. you're not a big Halloween guy, are you? Like, as far as the holiday?
No, I do like Halloween. I'm not into horror and all that stuff, but I like the ambiance of the month of October. Halloween day or night is my least favorite part of Halloween.
I was going to say, do you have any, like, traditions that you go through in October for Halloween? Like, do you pop up some scary movies or something like that? Or
if I
go to a haunted house?
If I watch a horror movie, it's going to be in October.
Yeah.
Typically. But I'm not a big horror movie fan. And when I do, it's usually the same, like, three or four, you know, like the big slasher movies.
I was going to say, what's your go-to?
Nightmare, Friday.
Okay.
And Halloween. I mean, those three. But I'll also maybe get down with some Alfred Hitchcock or something. Now
that's some great stuff.
Hitchcock, I can watch anytime. Like, those are suspense movies.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, horror. But you get some stuff that are kind of crossover, too. Like, I like The Shining, which is horror, but I don't really consider it horror. I don't know. I mean, stuff like that.
Right.
And I could watch anytime. But I'm most likely to watch strictly a horror movie in October.
Where do you stand on the new Halloween that just came out, the new Halloween movie?
Well,
is it the kind of thing that, like, once it's on streaming service, you'll definitely check it out, or...
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think I've seen the first two Halloween movies, like the first two, not the Rob Zombie ones. I mean, you know,
because a lot of people went to check it out this past weekend.
Yeah.
It opened this last weekend, and everybody on my social media said that they really enjoyed it. They might have had one or two qualms about it, but everyone seemed to really, really enjoy it, and it topped the box office this weekend. I think it was on, let me see here. I pulled it up. Internationally. I think it was on part of get like 77.
Hey, look who's
5.
Here.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I actually got here.
Jefferson's here.
Wait, is this mic working now?
Yeah, for sure.
For now
it's
it
crazy.
Is.
Crazy.
We were just we were just hitting the headlines.
This one's seen better days. Look at this dangling here.
Oh my goodness.
It's only barely hanging in.
It's almost not.
Yeah.
We were hitting the headlines before we wrap up the show here. We were just talking about the Halloween movie that came out this past weekend.
Yes. Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers is walking faster than ever.
Yeah, but they did amazing in the box office.
Walking faster than ever.
I mean, it's true. So
yeah, no, it is.
So it's encouraging to see that it's if you were on the fence about it, like for instance, we were about the Venom movie. It's encouraging to see not only that it did real good numbers at the box office, but I know everybody on my social media said that they had a real good time.
Yeah. Honestly, like the responses I've gotten for Venom were very good, except for
I've not heard a bad.
Bad reviews for sure.
Yeah,
but
critics.
Beyond that,
I've only heard negativity from critics. Not,
yeah.
Anybody I know has seen it.
I have talked to face to face that has seen the Venom movie is like, oh, you gotta go.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends. Are we more like critics? Like, are we that esteemed moviegoers?
I'm
going to
stop you with the word esteemed.
Yeah. Okay. Esteemed is too strong a word.
You're good at esteemed. Nice job.
You're good at esteem.
Can never use that word to describe us.
No.
We found out this week that Wonder Woman 1984 has been pushed back to June 2020.
Oh, geez.
We're not going to see it next year. We're going to see it in 2020.
Okay.
You guys got any thoughts or feelings about that?
Yeah. I wasn't
2023,
my breath,
I won't notice. I won't notice the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, fair enough. on the TV side, a show that me and Al have both given up on, Flash and Arrow, revealed that their big crossover this year is going to be Elseworlds, and it shows a picture of Stephen Amell wearing the Flash helmet.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And the actor who plays the Flash, I can't remember his name.
Gustin.
Grant Gustin. Wearing the Green Arrow hood. And also Batwoman is going to be part of that.
Oh, they're cool. Cosplaying as each other.
Yeah.
I didn't know Batwoman was going to be involved.
It's going to be an alternate reality where they are each other, you know, where the Green Arrow character is where Oliver Queen is the Flash instead.
Yeah. No, it was making a lot of news that Batwoman was going to be involved in, you know, gay superhero. It's like, well, what about half of the other characters on these shows?
Yeah.
You know, Sarah Lance is going both ways, but then, you know, the sister of Supergirl is gay. I mean, there's all sorts of Mr. Terrific is gay, all in the CW universe.
Right.
He's terrific.
Yeah.
They're changing Mr. Fantastic. Sorry. I'm so sorry for that. I apologize.
Our gay listeners are very angry at you right now.
I'm sorry.
Should be. You should be.
Well, let's stop down with some controversy.
Another one bites the dust over at Netflix. They canceled Iron Fist, and then on the cusp of Daredevil season 3, which we'll talk about in a minute, Luke Cage also not coming back for a third season. Just
2 seasons was enough, I think.
Fuel,
I'm not too worried about it. But
adding fuel to the fire that they're just going to do Heroes for Hire.
Which I'd be okay
between
with.
The two of them.
Well, and here's the thing, too, is the characters still exist in that world. Right. All they're really saying is, you know what, we don't need to do another exclusive Iron Fist. We don't need to do just Luke Cage again.
Well, I was talking to Amy about this last night. I was telling her we were going to talk about it on the show. And that's the thing that she brought up, is the disappointing thing is at the end of Luke Cage season 2, Misty has the cybernetic arm that she has from the comic books.
Oh, you're spoiling it. I'm not going to watch this thing for another 7 years, Chuck.
At the end of Iron Fist, Colleen Wing is the one wielding the Iron Fist.
I don't even know who that is.
That's why I'm telling you. I don't think it's spoiling anything that you were actually going to. By the time you see,
I don't know. I stopped paying attention when Jefferson made his lewd comments.
Ah, jeez.
It wasn't even a comment.
All right, well, let's talk about
Chuck was like, well, I was going to edit that out, and now
I can't. You called back to it.
Do a lot more editing.
Let's talk about Daredevil season 3.
Yes, started watching it.
Yeah, me too. I got about 3 or 4 episodes in. Forgot what it was like to have a Netflix show that I absolutely wanted to know what happened next.
Right?
And, I got to watch it again. I got to watch the next one. Love it. Return of the Kingpin.
Yep.
That just everything about it is fascinating. I've yet to see something about it I did not like.
No, consistently Daredevil's been really, I've been really impressed by it, which is so good because, you know, I don't have that feeling with a lot of shows nowadays.
We'll absolutely give you guys like a full review when we've seen the rest of it.
Yes, definitely.
The last thing I want to hit up, Ann Carlini actually sent me this news story.
Oh, cool.
NASA,
the queen.
NASA has themselves a gamma ray space telescope and named 21 new gamma ray constellations.
I have some of those.
The fun thing about that, they named them after a bunch of nerd stuff.
Okay.
There's an Incredible Hulk constellation that you can only see with a gamma ray telescope. There's a Godzilla constellation. There's a Mjolnir, Thor's hammer. Even a TARDIS constellation that they decided on. So NASA, unsurprisingly, full of nerds.
What?
It was just so shocking.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Right. I know you love space.
Yes, I do.
So I figured this was right up your alley.
As we have all learned from reading comic books, gamma radiation equals superpowers.
It does.
True.
Which is it was Stan Lee's go-to. He's just like, I don't know, radiation.
Get yourself a gamma ray space telescope, and maybe you'll get super eyes.
So, yeah.
It'll filter the light right into your eyeballs.
And I haven't tried that yet.
So maybe if I get gamma radiation in my eyes, I'll have just regular eyes.
Maybe.
Fix whatever is going on.
I think that
on.
Goes for everyone because I believe we are all glasses users.
Right.
Fun fact.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio. Thank you guys for being on the show, as always. And thank you guys for downloading the show wherever you're getting it from. We appreciate it. Wherever you're streaming it from, keep it up. Let us know on our social media, Nerd Radio 101, and we will be back next week. You guys have anything to say to close the show out?
No, I think that would put a button on it.
We love you guys.
Yes, we do.
Thanks for listening.
Nice.
Each and every one of you.
Nice.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
Hey,
we're
out! How did it take you so long to get that?
Because I've only watched like two of those.
It's such an iconic song, though. I remember we played that in fifth grade band. That movie was the shit at that time, all right? I know I'm capable of saying that because it's already off of the...
Because it's already not the break.
Exactly.
What the shit? When Jefferson was in fifth grade.
Yeah. So I don't know when you guys were 30 or something.
When did you see The Matrix?
Oh,
when did you see The Matrix? Tell me the story again, Jefferson.
I don't remember.
Were you in like high school or some garbage?
I think it was high school.
Yeah. Some class in high school.
Yeah.
And it had just come out on DVD.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.